Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you want to go? Would you want to go scuba diving near the Great Barrier Reef in Australia? What about mountain climbing in the Himalayas? Or maybe you would want to see animals on safari in the Serengeti. Our world is a big, beautiful place with so much to see and do. Some people want to travel all over the world and experience everything they can, while others are happy to sit and enjoy what they see out their window. Today's guest knows all about the desire to travel and see the world, especially if it meant leaving where he grew up behind.
I wanted to leave the flat fields of corn and soybeans, the monocultures in every sense of the word. I grew up right across the state line of Ohio, and the town where I live now is Muncie. It's not that big. It's where we went on dates and doctor's appointments. I think that the lack of diversity I was exposed to made me even more hungry and curious about how other people live.
This is Kelsey Timmerman. He's an author and traveler, and while he loved his home and the people around him growing up, by the time he was a teenager, he was itching to go explore the big world around him. When he talked about the monocultures in his hometown, he was talking about the single-crop farms that grew soybeans or corn. But he was also talking about how he felt that there was only one culture in his hometown. He wanted to get out and learn a lot more.
I went to college in Ohio and I studied anthropology, which just was like story time about people, how they live throughout time and then present day. And geology, seeing all these beautiful places around the world my professor had been to. So I had gone to that same professor, my geology professor, and said, I just want to get out of here. Like, I'm going to book one-way tickets. And that's what I did. He helped kind of shape where I was going to go. And I thought I'd never look back.
So Kelsey took off on a series of adventures all over the world. He flew to Hawaii, then Australia, and then he made his way to Southeast Asia. As he traveled, Kelsey found himself wanting to share the things he was learning with the people he'd left at home.
I had some experiences that I wanted to share, like they were almost unbelievable experiences. And not just share, I wanted to process. So I was just emailing people about my experiences, and I found a lot of meaning in that and the feedback I'd get from people. And I also really loved that I was able to write stories and send them back to the monocultures of Dark County, Ohio, where I grew up. And people loved them and people connected with them and people were curious about it. At first, it was sort of like I was writing about me off in the world having adventures. And I went to New Zealand and hitchhiked and other places and Eastern Europe for a while and still writing about these stories. And then I was so amazed by every place. Every place was so vastly different from where I lived and grew up that I knew I could go anywhere in the world and meet people I found interesting or have adventures.
Could Kelsey really be interested in anywhere he went? He decided to test the theory with one adventure in particular.
I had this t-shirt that said, come with me, my tropical paradise. And so I thought, I'll just go wherever this t-shirt was made. And so it was made in Honduras. And I went to Honduras and I went to the Mosquito Coast, deep into the jungle to have adventures. And then I went scuba diving. And then I thought I should at least go to the factory where the shirt was made. And I showed up at the factory. I was like maybe 25 at the time. And I waited inside the factory for the workers to be let out. And then I meet a guy who's also 25, that he stops and talks to me. Everyone else is just kind of walking by me because why would they stop to like me standing outside of their place of employment? But he stopped and his name was Amilcar. And I hadn't thought it through. I hadn't thought through like, what was I going to say to this guy? Hey, the shirt was made here and now I'm here. Isn't it kind of cool? So I didn't learn much about him at that moment. And then it kind of ate at me. Then I started to ask deeper, bigger questions, and it kind of changed the purpose of my travels. I wanted to explore what it means to live in a world of we're so disconnected from one another in a global society, global economy. And I think when I was talking with him, it was the first time I'd ever like really looked at my own privilege and opportunity of my own life. And that, so that really changed things.
Kelsey's change from travel writing to finding deeper meaning in his adventures led him to write a book all about tracking down where our clothes are made.
Once I met the guy outside the factory in Honduras, I got home and I laid out the trip that would become my first book, Where Am I Wearing? Like where, as in what location am I wearing, as in what clothes am I wearing? And then I went to Bangladesh because my underwear were made there, which is, you know, people ask you, why are you here? Like, do I tell them? Cambodia for my blue jeans, China flip-flops were made in China. And then that ended up becoming a journey that ended up becoming a book.
Kelsey's change and the meaning behind his adventures happened at the same time another change was occurring in his life, this time closer to home in Ohio.
I ended up marrying my high school sweetheart, and we dated for 11 years. So Annie is very patient, and she is a saint. And so we started dating my senior year of high school, and then we went to different colleges. We still dated.
As much as he loved his travels, Kelsey felt drawn to his home, to Annie, and to a life that they could build there together.
My book came out the same year we had our first kid, too, within months of each other. It has become much different doing that work when I have a family and more responsibilities back home, and also more of a community I was a part of.
Once he had a family, home, and community, Kelsey's travels began to have a much larger effect on the home he and Annie were building together. He found one of the biggest connections between home and distant lands when he went to go visit the Arhuaco people living in northern Colombia.
My first experience visiting the Arhuaco took place when I was researching coffee and fair trade coffee. And so I had made arrangements to meet up with this fair trade coffee group. And I flew into the airport at Valle de Par, and they picked me up and whisked me off to the mountains. And I'm surrounded by people wearing white robes, and the men have white caps that are the shape of the mountain peaks, and they're meant to kind of mirror that. The men, when they meet each other, they exchange coca leaves. They're all wearing satchels, and they exchange coca leaves in this kind of really cool tradition. And they have like little charms in their bag of coca leaves too that help with certain knowledge and protection. The women are constantly weaving, and where they are, they consider it to be the heart of the world.
The Arhuaco people live in the Sierra Nevada de Santa Marta, which is up in the mountains of northern Colombia.
We're up in the mountains into this one area they refer to as the heart of the world, and they believe it's where they were sent to protect. And they told me they see what's happening in the rest of the world, and they pray for us, and they believe that their prayers keep the world from falling to pieces. And here many of us are like not thinking about our impact, and they believe their prayers are keeping it all held together, and that if anything negatively happened to the heart of the world, it would horribly affect the rest of the world.
Kelsey was very touched by the impact that the Arhuaco people believed they were having on the world, and so he wanted to learn more about their way of life.
I had this time to sit down with one of their spiritual leaders called Amamo. And I thought I was going to go learn some farming techniques and their farming practices because of either the research I was doing. But they basically just kept sitting me down in the woods and talking to me. And so the mama, his face looked fairly old. He didn't have a lot of teeth left. His arms were just like he was built like a superhero. He was jacked. You know what I mean? He had a lot of muscles. And when we followed him into the forest, he just like disappeared down this steep incline. Then we were supposed to follow him and trying to pull our way through the vegetation to get back to this place where we sat down in these reeds. And he was talking with the other Mamo and our translator, and we talked for a while. Then they asked us a question, and they give us a little cotton bowl to put in our hand and to put our intentions into that bowl, or our concerns into that bowl of cotton. And then we were done, we could hear a stream somewhere, but it was ended up being really, really close to where we were sitting. And so they told us to get up and throw that cotton into the stream, and it would ultimately run to the ocean. And so that was a really beautiful thing. And then we sat in the stream and observed my buddy Cliff. The water was cool and I was finally not getting eaten alive by insects.
Kelsey's experience with the Arhuaco Mamo taught him a lot about connecting to nature.
I think that it was more of showing us just stop and think and observe and listen. One of the things that they told me that really stuck was I talked about where I came from and about the monocultures. And they told me every place has the magic. And so they're just inviting us to be a part of where we are and to observe where we are and not look at nature as something to be controlled and killed with chemicals and machetes, but to live with.
As Kelsey thought about the magic he had experienced all over the world in natural places with interesting people, he also realized that he could experience that same magic at home with his local community and family. Kelsey now lives on a farm in Ohio with some wooded areas and lots of plants. He's learned to apply the lessons from the Arhuaco at home.
Anytime traveling, travel should change you in some way. Throughout our woods, we inherited some old rusty lawn chairs, and I have placed those out in the woods of places that I like to sit and to observe. And so I'm not sitting on the ground because the insects and I don't have the best relationship. So I sit on these places and I can just relax and think. Maybe it's not quite so intentional and I'm not doing the things in my hands and putting them in the river, but just like sitting and observing and being in this space and looking at the trees and the birds and getting to know a place more. That's directly from the Arhuaco. Also, this idea of the heart of the world is something that's been really important. What if we all looked at ourselves and our places like that? Wherever we live is the most important place on the earth, and we're the ones there to take care of it. So that's how I've kind of started to view the 20 acres that we live on, which is surrounded by monocrops of corn and soybeans. So in many ways, the experiences specifically of the Arhuaco have changed me and made me see, no, okay, I'm the steward and caretaker of this place for now.
I love that. Whether you want to travel around the world or not, Kelsey and the Arhuaco people can teach us that the most important thing we can do is take care of the plants, animals, and land around us. So what can you do to observe and enjoy the natural world at home? Finding a place to sit and experience wonder is a great place to start.
A quick word here for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Kelsey Timmerman and his mission to be a better steward of the land. If you'd like to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode is called How Farmers Show Their Love for the Land. Constant Wonder is on an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small, the kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.